Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 40-something of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. We decided that we are now in our 40s and refuse to talk about our age and that number from now on. My name is Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And this is Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. And today we're here to talk about home-based businesses.
Yeah. We've gotten... it's gotten a lot of press recently. It's big news on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group. Apparently, people run their businesses from home all the time.
Yeah, and successfully.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about today, is success tips in custom T-shirts, embroidery, and bling in that home-based business. So how are you going to set yourself up for success? How are you going to make sure that you facilitate this great environment in your home where you can actually run a professional, real business that's not just a hobby?
Right, and we're going to do this from a couple of different places because I think Mark Vila and I have both run businesses from home. And I run two apparel businesses from home, I realized just the other day. And we've got so many people on the Facebook group that kind of chimed in to the question the other day on, can I run an embroidery business from home? Mm-hmm. And what I didn't realize really is how many people have multi-head embroidery machines.
Yeah.
And run it from their house. So I think there's a lot of potential for doing a home-based business in custom apparel in particular, and I think we can share some things from a couple of different perspectives that'll help you do it more easily, more smoothly, and maybe avoid some of the mistakes that we've seen made out there.
Yeah, and mistakes get made all the time. We see them every day. But I also know that in my history, the first commercial embroidery machine and the first multi-head embroidery machine were going into home-based businesses.
Okay.
So the first commercial machine was somebody who was brand new.
And this is from when you were selling embroidery equipment.
This is from when I was selling embroidery equipment, you know, years ago. And this was a brand new startup business. Mm-hmm. And then the multi-head machine was somebody who had a couple of single heads and had space that they built some space out in their house with money that they had saved up to make an actual embroidery workshop.
Yep.
And they had put, I think it was a six head, may have been a four head, and their single heads in that area.
Yeah.
And built out like an actual workshop, but that was their goal. That's what they wanted to get to. And I got to see him get to that point. I never sold them their original machine.
Right.
But I got to sell them their first multi-head, which was really cool. So that stuff happens.
That's awesome. And I'm looking on the group, and there's a bunch of people that have, you know, one lady had an outbuilding built,
mm-hmm.
you know, with power and everything. Somebody else converted a basement after they kicked their in-laws out.
Yeah.
You know, to do their business. And I know that if you look at the Coldesi.com success stories tab.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going through it, and Botkin Designs. I mean, they retired and started their business from home. Undercover Bling. I know that lady in Tennessee, even though she doesn't want to put her name on it, runs a very successful business from a converted back porch just outside of Memphis with a Pro Spangle and embroidery. I know Benson Designs. Sean Benson is a great entrepreneur, runs his business from his basement with the DTG printer, and I'm not sure yet, but he was working on a multi-head embroidery machine. So Crystal Creek Designs, our own Kim Langevin, who used to work here at Coldesi, runs an embroidery and bling business from home. There are a lot of people, I mean, I'd even go so far as say most Coldesi customers and a lot of Coleman Company customers actually use a spare bedroom, a basement, or an outbuilding to run their business.
Or they started there.
Yeah, and then they move out.
Yeah, and then they move out, which is something that we'll talk about, you know, in this podcast as well, I think. But that is, this is a really cool business to get into from a home-based type of atmosphere, because there's so many cool things that you can do, and there's so much success that you can have where you don't need the storefront. Which I think it can be a place that some people start from is they want to start this business, and they're thinking about, okay, well, I need this storefront.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to say, well, are you expecting walk-in business, or are you expecting to have, you know, meetings with clients that you need that, or are you working off of referral business and going out and getting it on your own through all the other ways we've talked about in our podcasts and such?
Yeah, and that's actually kind of rare. Like, I don't see many retail-based custom apparel businesses to get started. You know, what usually happens, like in the case of maybe Pia Bowes or some of our other customers here, like I think Graphics and Print, these are folks that started at home and started to get so much interest and so much traffic that they needed a retail location.
Yeah.
So they needed to go out. But, you know, the decision that you have to make in the beginning is kind of how you're going to position your business.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to position yourself to the public as, hey, my name's Mark Stevenson. I've got a cutter and a direct-to-garment printer. I do custom T-shirts of a couple of different kinds. Do it all from my house to keep my overhead low. And I'm ready to fill some orders for you. You know, what can we do together? So is being a home-based business part of your persona? Or are you kind of a little bit undercover and you're trying to avoid advertising the fact that you're a home-based business because you want to seem bigger?
Yeah.
Right?
And there is that whole, you know, where, and there's a debate back and forth. You could probably find a ton online of, you know, using we instead of I, you know, for the business. But do you want your, you know, is there a reason that for the clientele you're going after, that being home-based may or may not turn them off or
right.
not? So these are all things to consider. It doesn't matter or not if you're doing, you know, if you're in the bling and rhinestone business and you're doing a lot of small local business and sports apparel and things like that, it probably is almost encouraging that you do this from a home-based business.
Yeah, let's say you're the classic soccer dance mom.
Yeah.
Who starts doing bling and glitter uniforms and sports mom t-shirts and things like that. Well, all of your customers are just like you.
Yeah.
You know, so let me have my kids drop it off to your kids when they go to school tomorrow.
Yep.
You know, or, yep. Hey, we'll meet at Walmart. I've got to go there on Saturday morning. Let me just give you your order. Or you can just stop by the house after school. You know, all that is perfectly appropriate and may even make your clientele feel more comfortable.
Yeah. They're happy to give you that money. And we've discussed in previous podcasts about the small business, local business mentality.
Yeah.
It feels good to get that, like, I'm giving the money that I've earned and buying a product that feels worth that money to somebody who's in turn going to put it back into my community.
Yeah.
And I'm helping out this person who not only is a business associate, but a friend in a way. And so all of that can really help you out. So the home base track can be so successful in custom apparel.
Yeah, it really can. Now, on the other hand, you know, like if I'm going to start because of my personality, if I was to start a business, and Mark Vila knows I'm all business.
Mm-hmm. All business. Right?
All business
time.
All the time.
Plays board games. That are business.
So I'm a business guy. So if I decided, started a commercial embroidery business, for example, or I got a DTG printer or a vinyl cutter, I wanted to do sports team wear or corporate wear, then what I'm going to do is not let anybody know that I'm from my house, because I'm going to go to the University of South Florida or UT or the city of Tampa, and I'm going to say, hey, listen, I am a commercial business. I want to provide you with the 500 shirts that you need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I want to be your apparel supplier for the USF bookstore for all of your custom apparel. Now, that is a business that might look at me and, okay, I've got a business address, I'm a business guy, I'll take POs, you know. They're not going to run by your house to pick up their order.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of a different personality, and whether or not you run your business from home is a separate question to whether or not you advertise that you're a home-based business.
Yeah, because you can say that, all right, let me go back to my shop.
Yeah.
And your shop can be a room or garage or an building that you built. So all those things, that can be your shop.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be any type of lie or deceit.
Yes.
It's just, you just don't advertise. You don't put out there, let me go to my house and do this. Stop by my house.
Yeah.
It's, you know, this, let me go to my shop and get this. And we do, you know, we do delivery on everything for free.
Is it part of your business's persona? Mm-hmm. You know, what does it look like? And you can change it later. But, you know, when you get started, you've kind of got to figure out which one do you want to be.
And then the other thing to think about is, you know, is the home-based business track for you?
Right.
Are you going to work?
Yeah, that's a
big
deal.
Are you going to do it?
That is a big deal.
Yeah, are you going to be able to actually do it? And you have to, it's a decision that you have to make. Because I'm going to say, yes, you can do it. It's not this, I'm not asking you to run a marathon and get bad knees where you physically can't do it.
Yeah, that's
you can do this, but you have to make the decision to say, I'm going to start a home-based business, which means I'm going to take all these tips that we're going to go through next.
Right.
I'm going to do all of these things because this is a decision that I'm making, and this is work.
Yes.
It's money. It's income. Yeah. You know, it's a business.
Yeah. I also kind of want to differentiate here, and we did this in our last podcast about whether or not you really want to get into business or you just want to make a few bucks from your hobby.
Yeah.
Because those are two different things, too, right? So if you want to, you know, use your Cricut or upgrade to a GraphTech cutter even and just make stuff for your friends and family, of course, that's the home-based track.
Yeah.
You know, not really a business, but a hobby that pays for itself.
Yeah, and that's what...
That's
not,
awesome.
That's not all of what these rules are
right,
for.
Right, right.
These rules are for those who want a business.
Yeah.
So you can break 100% of these rules if this is a hobby that makes you some money and supports itself, you make a few hundred bucks a month, you can break all of these rules because it doesn't matter. It's for fun that, you know, it's a self-sustaining hobby.
Yeah.
So if you are in business to make money and make this a career, a family business, whatever it is, let's start with some of the steps. And if you are just a mid-level hobbyist or a higher-end hobbyist and you know, I would continue to listen, but you can figure out for yourself which one of these things, which of these rules you can bend
all right.
and break.
If
it's a real business, you can't break any of them.
So let's put aside all the legal stuff.
Okay.
Well, actually, let's not put aside.
Okay.
I'm gonna move up our number one.
Okay.
Is it legal to do the kind of business that you want to do in your area from home?
Okay. So. Are there any city or county or state ordinances that would prevent you from having any particular type of equipment like that there?
Yep.
Are you allowed to actually run a business particularly? You know, is there just the fact that you are producing and creating and collecting money, is there anything you need to be concerned about?
There are city and county regulations all over the country, and every single one of them is different. There are also community rules, whether or not you decide to abide by them. But I know in a townhouse association that I was part of, it was against the rules to run a business out of your home. And by run a business, collect money and produce goods.
Yeah.
You know, is it legal? And also think about what you're going to be doing. I know specifically in some places you can't run a traditional screen printing business from a residential area, you know, inside city limits. So you need to find out if it's legal to run a business, period, and if it's legal to run the specific kind of business you're going to run.
Yes, and then are there any chemicals, like you mentioned screen printing, there's some specific chemicals you might have to use that just might not be permissible in your residential area.
Yeah, or that they may be permissible, but you can't put them in the regular garbage.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You got waste disposal issues.
Yeah, you have to dispose of it separately.
Yeah.
Where if you maybe were in an industrial area, that type of disposal would be okay to put in a dumpster.
Right.
But, you know, these are all small examples. And these are things that I don't think you want to get too freaked out and worried about.
No.
But you just want to be sure that you're not going to put yourself in a situation where everything is up and running. You know, if you're in a community that says you can't run a business, and then but you say, well, yeah, so-and-so does sells insurance. And, you know, it's like it's one of these things where they don't want customers coming in and out all the time. Yeah. You know, maybe that's a rule that I would bend. However, if there's a rule you can't do that, and I decide to get a six-head embroidery machine, and this is going chugga-chugga in my garage, and my neighbor now is cool with it, but he moves. And a new guy moves in, and he hates the noise.
Or you just leave the garage door open, and the head of the association just happens to be driving by while you've got, you know, a heat press and a DTG printer and a embroidery machine multi-head running in your garage.
Yeah, and maybe that, you know, and again, you know, you... The head of that community now might be cool with it, but who's going to run it next year? Are they going to give you trouble? So you just want to see, how are you going to do it? Do you need to do things discreetly or not? Is there any, and is what you are going to put in there, it would be more of a concern if I was going to put screen printing equipment in there and I legally was not allowed to have that, where the city would put a sticker on my door.
You could be in trouble. And I think some sublimation is the same way, depending on the chemicals that you use.
So, to end that part of it, what's the best way, do you think, for somebody to find those rules out? Because that's always a hard part.
Well, I mean, you're going to start small and get, well, I'd start big and get small.
Okay.
So I would look at, okay, so what does it take to go into business in the state of Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can Google that, and there is a sunshine.org.
Sunbiz.org,
which is a Florida state website for starting a business. Okay. And then I would look at Hillsborough County in my area and see what their requirements are. Normally, county, you have to get a license to run a business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would look at the city that you're in or ask the county people, you know, are there any other regulations? And then I would check if you live in a neighborhood with an association, you know, check that as well.
And the for the most part, you are going to be able to get somebody on the phone to answer some of these questions, but it might not be easy.
Yeah.
So don't get discouraged by that portion of it. So you're going to call the state, and first you'll call the state business department. You might be on hold for 10 minutes, get somebody on the phone, and they're saying, oh, you called the wrong department. You got to call this one. And that one you leave a voicemail. And who knows when they're going to call you back. Just be diligent on it. Write it all down. Create a little checklist of the things you're concerned about and you want to make sure are good. Continue to make the phone calls. Send the emails in. Get whatever you can in writing.
Yeah.
So if somebody says, oh, yeah, that's fine, and you then just
can you
politely
send me an email?
Ask. Just, yeah.
Or where can I? Can you send me a link to where I can find that online?
Yeah. Where is there a statute or some documentation that I can keep on file? And all you've done is you've helped prepare to yourself, and then you decide. Oh, the other thing you can do, by the way, if you want to pay a little bit of money, is talk to an attorney.
You could,
you know, and especially if you can get an attorney to help you pay to actually put some things in writing for you.
Yeah.
Here's all the things. Boom. Here's a document for you.
Yeah.
That if somebody comes up to you, you've got all of this documented, and I can represent
it's
you.
It's true.
Is it that big of a deal if you're going to have a single-head embroidery machine running out of a spare bedroom that you need to have that?
No.
But, again, if you're going to invest $50,000 in multiple multi-head machines, it's probably worth it to spend a few $100 and talk to an attorney if you're concerned.
Yeah, if you're going to make this your livelihood, do the right stuff up front.
Yeah.
So you can go to irs.gov. They've got a business section on there that will walk you through some of the steps and some of the things that you need to do from tax, you know, from tax purposes and things like that. You can also go to the SBA site and score. Both are free resources for
small business associations.
Small business administration.
Right, administration, yeah. And so anyway, all of those were all there to help you out. So I wouldn't let any of that discourage you or freak you out or get you concerned about doing it, because so many people do it.
Yeah.
Just do a little bit of homework before you invest a lot of money.
I agree. So our next thing then, after you figured out if you want to advertise the fact that you're at home, if that's part of your persona, and you make sure that you're allowed to have a business wherever you live, are the physical requirements, right? So what are the physical requirements of the equipment that you're going to want to use?
So how much space is it going to take up?
Yep.
What type of electricity is it going to use?
Yep.
Right? That's part of that.
Well, it's all the same type.
Yeah. Well, no. Is it lightning
powered? Lightning, solar powered.
Do you need a specific type of outlet?
Yeah.
Do you need a specific breaker?
Yep. Is it 220? So a lot of commercial heat presses, even if you were going to start a t-shirt transfer business and just buy transfers that somebody else makes, if you got a really good heat press, you know, those draw a lot of power, and you might need to run a dedicated line.
Yeah, and it could, if it's getting up to 350 degrees, yep, imagine that's like an oven.
Right.
You put another oven in that room. So just make sure that you have good power requirements for it. You don't want to plug that in the same, because when that heat press kicks on,
yeah,
and especially if you live in an older home and that heat press kicks on, you might see some lights dim.
Right.
And you also need to consider, like, if you have a laser toner printer,
yeah,
and a heat press, both of those generate a decent amount of heat.
Right.
So you might look at all the stats and say, okay, I need it to be 15 amps. I've got that. It's, yep, going to be, and all the math seems fine. But then you plug in a laser toner, and then now all of a sudden when the laser toner kicks in, your heat press temperature goes down.
Yeah, or you do all that in like a 6x8 small back bedroom with bad AC.
Yeah.
Or no AC.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the temperature gets too high and your transfers don't peel right.
Yeah.
You know, because it's too high. If you're running a DTG printer and you're in North Dakota, you know, you'll need to work out something with humidity during the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
When you turn on the heat, it sucks all the moisture out of the air, and anything that uses liquid inks, that ink is going to evaporate and dry very quickly. So it's going to impact the performance of the equipment. So physical requirements are really important. Are you going to be able to lay out all the pieces and parts that you need? So if you have a vinyl cutter,
mm-hmm,
you know, is it a 15-inch or a 24-inch? Do you have room for that? Do you have room for your computer? Do you have a table where you can do the peeling and pressing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you going to have a place to store all of your vinyl supplies? Are you going to have a place to store your blank T-shirts? You know, what's the physical layout in the room, and how are you going to arrange your stuff?
Yeah, and you don't need, for most of the stuff we're talking about, you don't need a huge space to do it. Well, what you want to do, I think, and if you agree, Mark,
yeah,
is you want to look at your area and plan it out, maybe by either sketching it,
yep,
or visualizing in your head if you're good at that, and saying, okay, this is the area where I can keep my laptop and I can do some table work. This is the area where I'm going to have my embroidery machine.
Yeah.
It'll fit here. I want to have some space to keep my hoops and backing. I'm going to keep all that here. And then there's a closet in this room. I can put in a bunch of, you know, IKEA shelves in here,
yeah,
and I can fit, you know, do some simple math, you know, stack up 10 shirts and see, and okay, that's about 12 inches. I can,
right,
probably fit 100 shirts in here.
Yeah.
So you do all this math in your head, write it down, and just get an idea of it, and then you can say, this is the space.
Yeah.
It's good. It might be tight now. My goal is to get out of this space.
Yeah.
Or you might be really lucky and have a whole basement.
Yeah, like, that's crazy.
I don't even have to worry
about
space.
That's crazy.
Like,
right,
I've got a whole basement that's empty. Only thing I need to worry about is I don't have heating down here in the winter. It's going to get cold to embroider,
yeah,
in January, so,
yeah,
maybe I need a space heater or whatever.
I will say that embroidery is one of the easiest businesses, if you're starting with one or two single heads, to do from home. Because a 1501C Avance, for example, comes on a cart with wheels, and you can literally just wheel that out of the way.
And I think the electricity is
it's minimal,
close to like a light bulb.
Yeah, it doesn't use anything. And, of course, the supplies are easy to, you know, relatively easy to store.
Yeah.
There's not a lot to it.
Yes. Yeah, you don't have to worry about if you're a little bit out of temperature ranges,
right,
and things like that, because you're not dealing with a lot of liquids.
So when we talk about physical requirements, we're talking about physical space, mm-hmm, for the equipment, for the supplies, and don't forget, eventually, you're going to need a place to sit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when we did a webinar earlier in the year on DTG in a home office, and we had a Viper 2, a heat press, and a Spider Mini pre-treat machine all in our webinar room, which is roughly 10 by 10.
Mm-hmm.
And we did everything, including like a table where we could, you know, fold and things like that. And really the only thing that we didn't think about was a place to sit down. Now, there is one if you rearrange some things, but, mm-hmm, you know, just realize that you're going to be working in there all day. So what are you going to do? Are you going to have your, is that where your computer is as well? So do you need a work computer to do design with? Is it the same one that you're going to use to do your accounting with?
Yeah.
You know, so map all that stuff out. Look at humidity. Is your equipment affected by humidity? Which, like I said, direct to garment printers are, even screen printing equipment can be. Is it affected by hot or cold? So if you're in Arizona, where it gets to be 1,000 degrees, will any of your equipment catch fire spontaneously?
Yeah.
If it gets that hot. Okay.
Or if you have a, like a steel building that you've built in your, you know, if you have a decent piece of property,
yeah.
You know, I know some folks, they have that, like a work, it's their garage, mm-hmm. you know, for their car or whatever it might be. If you're going to do it in there, well, if there's no heating, does it get cold? If there's no AC, does it get hot? What's your problem, Dad? Every single one of these things that we've said is completely solvable problem.
Yeah.
Mostly very easily.
It's just much easier if you solve them before you get your equipment.
Yes. Yeah. So probably of all of these things, you know, the worst case scenario I see in all of this is that you need to get an electrician to come out and
yeah.
give yourself a new electric line somewhere.
Yes.
If that's even a word or...
It is. It is. And usually that happens the first time somebody plugs in their heat press and they wonder why everything in the house went off.
Yeah.
The other thing I would think of is the temperature control.
Mm-hmm.
And not for your comfort, although that's very important,
yeah.
but for the actual operation of the equipment that you pick.
Yeah, and you can, and we have customers that use window AC units for temperature control,
sure.
and space heaters and humidifiers.
Yep, no bonfires.
Yeah, no, you can do that.
No,
it's
not good.
I'd have that in my notes, okay. but I guess I was wrong. So it's like all these are fairly solvable problems. Just thinking about it ahead of time before you get going, because the most frustrating thing is that you are so stoked to get going, you
yes.
fire everything up. And then it's not really working out right. And then you, I hear some noises.
Do you yeah, hear I hear it all the time. I do want to point out how you used the word stoked and fire.
Yeah,
I like that. That was
you.
Tying that in.
Everything.
That's some
I
professionalism there.
It.
I just thought I just thought of a great one. That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Will the equipment fit through the door?
Oh yeah. Okay.
That is a big deal. Because in your shed, if you've just got a regular size door, you may have to make some different arrangements to get, you know, a 6-head full size or a 12-head full size embroidery machine in there.
Mm-hmm. If you've got like a Willy Wonka tiny door.
Yeah, if you decided like maybe it's one of the 20-inch mobile home doors.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that, then you might have an issue getting stuff in and out. You just got to be aware of that.
Yeah. So that sounds good. You figured out your space. You know you want to do it. You figured out your persona. You figured out your space. Everything is going to be cool.
Yeah.
And honestly, everything that we've done so far, you can do before lunchtime.
Yeah.
You know, on the day yeah. you decide you want to do this. So most of this stuff is kind of simple. It's just the
yeah.
steps to take.
Yeah, just think about it.
So then the next one that's not too hard as well, but I have written down,
mm-hmm.
is your work and personal and home life focus.
Right. So you don't think that's a hard one.
Yeah. Well,
I've run into that a couple of different times. I used to build video editing systems out mm-hmm. of computers back when it was hard. Okay. And my office was my dining room, and I actually had like one of those. I got one of the corner office boxes that you can buy, you know, the steel case things where you build out your desk and things
yeah.
like that. I put it right by the front door in the dining room, and I had a hard phone line and a hard fax line back in the day, and I would be on the phone and working on computer stuff all day. No matter what I did, I could not train my elementary age school daughter, who was a very enthusiastic young lady, from bursting through the door when she got off the bus and saying, "Hey, Daddy, I'm home," every single day. No matter what I did, she would do that.
Yeah.
So what I had to do was I had to put that on my schedule and say, I can't do anything important around that time
yeah.
period because this is going to happen no matter what I do.
And so that's part of it.
Yeah.
And so I guess this is something that can be much easier for some than others. You know, if you are single and live alone, you know, then it's not so much of interruptions that are a problem. It's your own personal focus
right.
that is the problem.
Right.
So making sure that, well, my schedule starts at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
or 11 a.m. or 1 a.m.
Whatever it is, it's your business.
Yeah, it's your business. That's why you're doing it, right? So, like, I'm going to start at 9 a.m. So what does that mean? You know, it means I'm getting up at 8. And just because I work from home, it doesn't mean that I get to do whatever I want until 4 o'clock in the morning and
right.
then sleep till 3 and not accomplish what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So this is something that I think is you can do it. Anyone can do it. You actually have to make the decision to do it.
Yeah, and you'll be much happier. And here's what I'll say, and I've got like a little note here called the no laundry rule. So the work-life focus is all about, even if you're at home, when you're doing business, when it's business hours, whatever those are, like Mark said, then that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Your neighbors can't drop by because their kids are sick and mm-hmm. they're bored and mm-hmm. they want to come hang out. You know, you can't do loads of laundry during the day because how convenient is that? You don't have to do it on Saturday. Because what'll happen, you can't do chores. You can't run out to the grocery. You know, so these things may seem very convenient to you, but here's what happens, is not everything that you are going to do to make your business successful are going to be things that you really love to do.
Yes.
You may love to do embroidery. You may love to do design. You may love to do the actual physical act of weaving vinyl. You know, some people love to do that. I've heard.
Yeah.
Well,
some people like the repetitive tasks.
It's yeah, the craft
yeah,
part of the
it
business.
It feels nice.
Some people like that. Almost no one likes looking for new business, sending out invoices, packing and shipping orders, maintaining your equipment. So what will happen is you'll find other things to do household chore-wise instead of doing those all-important things to keep your business running that you don't enjoy.
Yeah, and what you can do, because you do work from home, right, so now you have these awesome conveniences that you can do, is you can also give yourself a lunch hour.
Yeah.
You can give yourself 15-minute breaks, and you can say, at 2 o'clock, at noon, I take an hour for lunch.
Yeah.
Every day. And what do I do laundry.
Yeah.
I go to the grocery store to buy some fresh food for dinner. Like, you get to do all those cool things during your lunch hour.
Right.
And then you come back and you go back to work. So you can still have those awesome conveniences.
Yes.
But you do them during the scheduled time. At 11 a.m., I have a 15-minute break. I get a quick snack. I get a second cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And I put laundry in to dry.
Honestly, cool. you could even have a two-hour break. You know, let's say that you are a stay-at-home parent and your kids get off at 3:30. So what you do is you take from 3 to 5 or from 3 to 6. That's not a work time for you.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, you're making it up at 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night
yeah.
to get that stuff done. Because if you don't make that time up, what happens is if you find 2 hours a day to do household stuff during work hours, at the end of that week, you're missing a day and a half worth of labor spent in making your business successful.
Yeah.
So now you're working part-time at home, kind of devoted to the success of your business. You know, instead of, I have a home-based business that I'm going to do.
Yeah, a business.
Business,
and
right.
when I worked from home for years, there was a period where I did a staggered schedule for myself.
Yeah.
So I would usually start around 8, and I would work all the way through around 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Depending on the day, and there was various reasons why. And then at that point in time is when I would stop. That would be lunch. Kid would come home from school. We'd eat some lunch.
Yeah.
I would eat some lunch or a light snack or something like that, whatever it is, my lunch break. I would take my break. I would prepare dinner, you know,
yep.
eat dinner, do some nighttime evening stuff. And then 8:30 bedtime, I went back into work.
Yep.
And I worked for my other 2 hours of the day, and
yeah.
I would finish up around 10:30, and that was the schedule I chose for myself. I liked it.
Yeah.
You know, I liked doing that. So, but you have to make that schedule, and you should log your hours.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea at all
I was
going to
say something like that, and be honest with yourself, because what may happen, you know, and this kind of thing tends to happen to me, is you might look back at your day and realize you only actually worked for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
You know, you only really hit it hard, you know, making phone calls or making T-shirts or, you know, doing the books for 2 or 3 hours in that day. And, you know, you're just not going to make it to the next level working 10 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing to mention mm-hmm. is that you've got to put on your thick skin, and you have to put on your, you know, your business cap, and you need to not be offended or worrying about offending people when you're at work. So what does that mean? Is that it's okay to just not answer the door.
Yes.
I would be working and somebody would knock on the door because maybe it was my neighbor, they saw my car.
Yeah, that's
whatever
it
was, like, not getting it.
Yeah.
I'm working right now. If I was at my office, I wouldn't be able to get it.
Right.
You know, but my office happens to be here. So, and then, well, you know, Joanne might get offended and she's a really nice old lady and then I don't want to upset her or think that I don't. Listen, like, relax. You know what? Yeah. You say, you go, if you know it was her, even if you saw her through a window, whatever it might be, you can reach out to her later on and say, I was in the middle of, you know, I was in the middle of doing something for a client. I couldn't really be interrupted. I was getting ready to be on the phone call in about 2 minutes. Whatever it might be, I was working.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's okay.
This is what I do.
And you might have to deal with that with, if you have, you know, with toddlers or elementary school kids, it's harder. But with teenagers, you know, you might have to deal with that. With your spouse, you might have to deal with that. Anyone who it is, you've got to not be concerned that you are going to offend or upset somebody because you're working.
Have that conversation in advance.
Have it in advance.
Yeah.
And I would say, like for me, my rule was when this door was closed, not home.
Yeah.
And that was kind of my rule because I said, listen, at 3 o'clock, I'm going to spend all afternoon and evening with everybody. Yeah. We can do everything. If you need me, like my phone is right there. You have a phone too. We're in the easy technology. Yeah. Just send me a quick text or call me.
Yeah.
And then maybe I can say, yeah, in 10 minutes I'll take a break and come help you out.
Right.
Of course, that's why I want to work from home too.
Yeah.
So you find that balance and you plan for it.
I don't know if this goes in work-life focus or from physical requirements, but I wanted to talk about computers for a minute.
Okay.
Because, especially if you have kids, if you only have one computer in the household, I think that's going to be a mistake. Because you need to use your computer maybe for design work, maybe for running your equipment, definitely for keeping track of your customers and for doing invoicing and answering customer emails. If that's the same computer that your kids need to do homework and your husband needs to do whatever he does on the computer, you know, or your wife needs to do whatever she does on the computer in the evenings or during the day or whatever, then that's a real problem for a couple of reasons. It's not just time. Because you know that if you are working on a job but your kids got a project that they didn't do and they need to write a paper for tomorrow morning, you're going to stop working.
Yeah.
And let them do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also what they may be putting on the computer. So your son or daughter could download a game that screws up your digitizing software.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband could delete something by mistake.
Yeah.
You know, because he doesn't recognize the file extension.
Yeah, he's cleaning up, doing just computer maintenance, didn't really pay attention to too much, and be like, oh my gosh, look at all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he was trying to upload the family photos from Disney to there, and it got it.
There's a lot of space, so let me delete all this stuff.
Yeah, delete all this stuff.
What's a DSG file?
Yeah, and boom, you deleted a bunch of designs, virus issues.
Yeah.
You know, if a bunch of, especially, you know, kids poking around on game sites, you know, I mean, any of these things can happen. Also, if you're logged into business social media, teenage daughter doesn't realize, you know, what account she's in and share something on Facebook real quick.
Yep.
And now your business is sharing something about teenage makeup tips.
Yes.
You know, so you want to just try to separate.
And computers are so cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do almost anything on a laptop. If you want, get yourself a laptop.
Yeah.
You know, anything but have a separate computer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Or maybe the new computer is for the family.
Yeah.
Maybe they only need something that's a $200 Chromebook.
Yeah.
Because everyone just checks email and Facebook.
Yeah.
And that's it. Well, then you take the nice computer for the business.
Yes.
And here's a family computer. It does everything anyone ever wants to do. And there you go.
Yeah.
You know, so think about all that ahead of time. And also wear your thick skin on that too. You know, because you have to, you know, when you talk, listen, we've already decided that this was my work computer.
Yeah.
This is the house, so no, you can't use it.
Do you have two kids that need to do projects that night? Says, well, one of them's going to fail. You know, because you can't use my freaking computer.
And the chances are both of them are not projects that need 6 hours of computer.
Right, right.
What else do we have here?
I think one of the big deals with working at home that you have to work out in advance are, I've got down here, customer contact procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like a really fancy way to say that you've got to decide how you and your customers are going to interface with each other, where that's going to happen and what that's going to look and sound like. So, for example, if you are a home-based business, are your customers going to come to your house?
Yeah.
So are they going to come like the lady in one of our success stories, the Undercover Bling? She did bags every time a local community kids theater did a new production. She would do embroidered bags with the name of the play or the musical on it and the name of the cast member and the role.
Mm-hmm.
So when those were ready, she'd have 24, 30 teenagers lined up outside her back porch throughout the morning, like coming to get their bags and picking up. Awesome for her. How is that going to work in your situation?
Yeah, and maybe you don't want to have customers coming to your house at all.
Yeah.
You know, you want to keep that separate, so you need to organize. Well, what are your meeting places? Are you doing things at Starbucks or McDonald's?
Yeah.
Are you doing things at, you know, at a park? Is there an actual business office space that you have access to that, you know, maybe your wife is an attorney.
Yeah.
Right? And has and owns an office, and there's a room in there you can use for meetings.
Yeah.
That you can schedule. So there's, you know, use all of your resources and think them out of how you actually want to do it, and also consider, you know, what is it? Do you live in a community with a gate and a guard, and you have to call people in ahead of time? You know, how comfortable is that for your clients?
Right.
You know, that every time they have to show up, they have to call, you have to call the guard, and the guard has to let them in, and it's all the way in the back of a community. Maybe you don't want that, you know? So just consider all the things, put yourself in your customer's shoes, and put yourself in your own shoes in the future, where you're going to say, let's pretend that I'm delivering two deliveries a day.
Yeah. Nice.
You know, if I'm delivering two things a day, do I care if people are dropping by?
Right.
Yeah. You know, maybe you do, maybe you don't.
If it's going to be 10, then you probably do.
Yeah.
You know, if you're 10, you probably do. So a couple of other alternatives, and it's not just that. Now, for physical locations, there are also places that will rent an office suite by the hour, you know, or they'll rent a conference room by the hour. I used a service called Intelligent Office. For a while when I worked from home, when I was selling video equipment, and I would go meet with prospective clients and talk about their systems and things like that in a conference room. And that worked fine for me. Maybe it will for you if you need to do those kinds of meetings. The other thing is not just physical, will I deliver, will people come to the office, but what are you going to do about the phone?
Mm-hmm.
So are you using your home phone? So do you want the potential for, do you have a home phone? Do you want the potential for your family members to answer the phone? Are you using your cell phone? Is it the same phone that you use personally? So if it's the one that you use personally and you're trying to portray yourself as a bigger business, are you going to answer every call, hi, it's Mary from Mary's Embroidery.
Yeah.
How can I help you? Or are you going to go, hi, this is Mary, go.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? What, you know, what are you going to do?
And do you need something more than that? So some folks will get a third-party phone service like Ring Central, 8x8,
yep.
Grasshopper. There's a ton of them out there. And you can have a phone number that's yes. just for the business. And then you can even get an app for your phone that
yeah.
when your mobile phone rings, it will be a Ring Central app or your 8x8 yes. app ringing.
And these are all computer or cloud based.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not you running a physical phone line into your home.
Yeah, and you can actually have your laptop be your phone.
Yeah.
The microphone and the speaker is your phone, or you buy a little headset. That's what I had for a while, where I had a headset that plugged into the side of my computer, and that was actually my phone. I had what they call a soft phone.
I've made at least 4 or 5 businesses that were just me or me and a friend seem huge with the kind of 8x8 or Ring Central app where you call and you record a message that says, hey, thanks for calling, you know, Bob's Peanut Factory. Mm-hmm. Press 1 for sales, press 2 for accounting. Now, all of those departments all went to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it sounds really good for that when that first customer calls.
Yeah, and you can also hire a receptionist type of a service if you want.
Yeah, you can if you want a live answer.
Yeah, so there's plenty of services like that where somebody will answer the phone for you. Hello, you know, t-shirt shop.
Yeah.
How can I help you out? I want to place an order. Okay, hold on. Let me go ahead and get, you know, and get one for you.
Yeah.
Then they call your cell phone.
Yeah.
And, hey, this is your answering service. I got somebody looking to talk to you about placing an order. Great, patch them through, or yeah. no, take a message for me.
Yeah, and all that's awesome, and mm-hmm. may or may not be necessary depending on the business that you're building.
Yeah,
right. When you make that first decision, maybe it's awesome to have your kids answer the phone.
Yeah,
you know, maybe you want to talk to mom about ordering one of those cool rhinestone jackets like me and all of my friends wear. That's great. Mm-hmm. Hang on.
Yeah,
you know, you could have that kind of thing going, or you could go the route where, you know, you're trying to look a little bit bigger, maybe seem a little bit more professional, and use a separate phone, use a phone app or a phone service.
Yeah, and one of my friends, he was a single guy, and he had his own small business, but he used one of the answering services, and he didn't care so much about whether people thought he was big or not
yeah.
or any of those things. He just did it because he was always busy with so many things.
Yeah.
That he didn't want to have to answer the phone every single time, but he also was tired of sending people a voicemail 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, good.
So he let the service answer, and he gave them some rules. If somebody asks for one of these 3 things,
yeah.
call my cell phone.
I like that.
And if not, just always take a message.
Yeah.
And at least it can eat a little bit of filtering out, so when somebody was calling to give him money, he always answered that phone call.
That's a good rule.
And when somebody was calling up to maybe just whatever it might be, you
yeah.
know, ask for a second copy of their invoice from 2 months ago because they lost it.
Right.
That could go to voicemail because that could be answered later.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it would be, you know, okay, email him about that.
Yeah.
So you can filter and push the people to email. So you figure out what's good for you. All of these things come at a cost. Everything we've named, though, is cheaper
yeah.
than your cell phone.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely.
Yeah, so.
Now, I will say one other thing about an address and where having a business address might be a good idea. For all of the businesses that I ran myself, I used the UPS store
mm-hmm.
Or mailbox, et cetera, I think it was called back in the day. As they've got it's a P.O. box, but one that will take shipments.
Yeah, it'll take, because a P.O. box is a great idea, and a lot of businesses have it, except a lot of UPS and FedEx, those things won't deliver
right,
to those addresses. So you need a physical person that they can hand the package to
yeah.
or sign for.
And there are always size restrictions. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. you get a box too big, they just won't accept
if they're
it.
Ordering T-shirts, it's going to be big boxes.
That's right.
You're going to get 3 big boxes.
What I really liked about working with these guys is it wasn't too much money. I think it was the current box that I use is maybe 60 or 80 bucks a month.
Yeah.
But I can call them and ask them if I have any packages.
Yes.
I don't actually have to even go anywhere. I just say, and even if you work from home, you know, maybe you're not going to always be there. You know, maybe the UPS truck in your area drops stuff off at 2:00 every day, and that's when you have to be physically somewhere else.
Yep. We have people all the time say that they don't want packages left at their door.
Yeah.
And or they've gotten packages stolen. Depending on
where I live in a shady neighborhood. I will not have anybody leave a package.
Yeah, so that helps to do that. And the thing is that you can order something from any of these places, including Coleman and Company, and you can ask us to put instructions like don't leave at the door.
Yeah.
The driver might not
see
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they might not even see that note. No matter what you tell us, no matter what we tell them, these are big delivery services. So that can help. Another cool thing you mentioned about calling is I remember my father would call up his mailbox, et cetera. I think at that time, now it's a UPS store, but he would call it up and he'd say, hey, is there a letter in my box from Anheuser-Busch?
Right.
No? Okay.
Never mind.
And he was like, yeah.
Throw everything else out.
Well, but the reason he was asking is because he knew a check was coming in.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to drive down there. If there's a check, I'll drive down there today and deposit it and move that money to places. But if there's no check, I'm not going to make the trip. If there's no box, I'm not going to make the trip.
Which is awesome.
So those are all conveniences. You also can put that address down on your business card and things like that.
Yeah.
So your address isn't your home address if you don't want that on your website or whatever it is. And anybody who's going to mail you anything, it would go to that address.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, we have customers that use that for their account with us. They work from home, but I don't even know what their home address is.
Yeah.
Their account is their UPS store.
That's right.
That's very acceptable and a good idea if it's in the budget. All of these, plenty of the things we named here are all in and of themselves, but they add up.
Yeah,
you prioritize.
Yep, that's true. The next thing I have, and I think it's just about the last one that I have, is to decide: are you going to have employees other than your kids and your spouse, and how's that going to look? So. For example, some of our customers that work from home, maybe they're in a basement office or they have an outbuilding, might have three or four people that come and work for them doing production on a regular basis. So they come into a business environment, but are you comfortable with that? Do you have little kids around all the time? Do you want to hire people? Are you going to hire your friends and they're not going to work out and you're going to have to fire them? Are you going to have people clock in and out when they come to your house? Are you going to be able to keep track of their hours? Are you going to let them use their fridge? What are they going to do for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to participate in your home? If you're working until 6 o'clock and your kids come home at 3, are they going to help with your kids' homework?
Yeah.
So employees is a big deal.
Yeah, and it's definitely something to think about. And also, it's going to be is there going to be a comfort level with them working for you? So not only is it your thought of them, but them even wanting to come work for you. Two of my best friends, they still run a small business, but they ran it for years when they were very new. They partially partnered up with another guy who did the same thing they did. And they said, if we combine forces and help each other out, and keep our business separate, but we could help each other answer phones, things like that.
Yeah.
So they were like, great idea. And the guy's like, well, I have this great office set up in my house. You guys should come check it out. He converted one of his living rooms into an office where 4 or 5 employees could actually work and have desks. They got there and they left a few hours later and they're like, there's no way we want to work there.
Right.
We don't want to work in this guy's house. Like, his dogs are running around. Like, one of the guys was allergic to cats. He had 2 cats. And, like, all of these things
you
can consider if that's going to be an issue or not. But I think it goes into maybe the hiring somebody stage is part of the when I'm moving out stage.
Right. That could be.
So maybe your goal is to always have it in your house and build a giant, steel building in the back that's going to be, your work area in your home. But maybe the goal is to have a storefront or even just an industrial
warehouse somewhere.
Warehouse, type of thing. Maybe that's what you want. So maybe the goal is when I get to this amount in sales, I can afford this much in the extra costs for the rent and electricity and insurances, whatever else you might need when you move out.
Yeah.
When I get to this number, I can afford that, and then I'm going to move out. Then that is the state. That's the employee stage of the business.
Yeah, I like all that. I want to go back through a little bit here again, but first I want to remind everybody about what we've been reading on custom apparel startups, and that's all these people that have been running a successful business from their house for 10 years, mm-hmm. 11 years,
yep.
15 years, multi-head embroidery machines, direct-to-garment printing, rhinestone machines. One of our favorite customers, My Rhinestone Transfers, has a commercial operation out of a barn behind their house. You know, I mean, there's a variety of ways to do this. Work from home means something different for everyone, mm-hmm. and it is in no way a barrier to you making money.
Yeah, no, not at all in the apparel business. Not at all. You know, there's very specific business plans that it does.
Right.
So if your goal is to sell beach t-shirts to tourists, I don't know how you're going to do that from your home. Unless you live on the beach,
right.
People walk by and you set up a booth in your front yard.
You
know, but otherwise, if you're talking about doing custom apparel for sports and small businesses and youth and schools and, you know, all of these things, local groups, charities, all that, if that's what your plan is, then where it's being produced almost doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
As long as you're kind of following some of these rules, and most of this stuff you can do in all in the same day.
Yeah.
You can literally wake up on a Friday morning and be done with this whole checklist before dinner.
Yeah, and let's run through those. You know, first you're gonna decide whether or not you want to make being a home-based business part of your business's personality.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something that you're gonna advertise? You're gonna take a look at the legal requirements. Are you allowed to do business where you are the way you want to, and what do you need to do to accomplish that properly? You're going to look at the physical requirements. And that's physical space, temperature, humidity, will it fit through the door, what's your power, is the equipment going to fit in your home and fit with the products that you want to produce,
mm-hmm.
okay? You're gonna work out a little bit of work-life focus, and that includes things like making sure you have a computer for business that you don't have to share. You're going to follow Mark's no laundry rule. So you're going to have set times where you do things for home because you're home. And as long as you get the right amount of hours put in and work done at the end of the day, you're going to be great, and you're not going to use household activities to avoid doing business activities that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. You're going to schedule your hours. You're going to work out how you want to contact customers and how you want them to contact you. Are you going to have a separate phone? Are you going to use a phone app? Are you going to get 8x8 or Ring Central? Are you going to have an answering service? Are you going to let customers come by your house to meet mm-hmm. with you and talk to you or pick stuff up? Are you going to rent office space by the hour just for that? Are you going to deliver product? Are they going to come pick it up? Are you going to use a UPS store box or a UPS box for deliveries? And what you're going to do about employees when you get them or when you start with them.
Yeah, and if your family is part of your employees, if your son or daughter or whoever is part of your employees, then work out some of these rules that straight up from the bottom to the top with them.
Yeah.
What are the hours they're going to work? They're not going to answer their cell phone and talk to their friends during business hours. You know, all of these things. You say, this is the work time, and all of that. You focus it up with the employees you might bring in, including if they're your family.
Yeah, agreed. Man, I liked this one.
Yeah, what I like about this one is a lot of people are either one of two things, either overly enthusiastic about the home-based business and don't plan anything,
mm-hmm.
and then get really stressed out really fast and want to give up.
Yeah.
Or they're so fearful of everything that they never actually pull the trigger.
Yeah.
I think those are the two most common things.
Yep.
And the middle ground are the folks who plan a little bit and pull the trigger when it's in a safe place.
Right.
It doesn't mean you're not going to get stressed out or freak out over some things over the course of your business. You started a small business. Get ready for it.
Yeah, exactly.
But this will help minimize a lot of those things that are very avoidable.
Yeah, I like all that. And maybe if you're already in business, you listen to this podcast, you recognize a couple of places where you can make a change that might make your business more successful.
Yeah, I would love to know that one thing on this list is something that was kind of like a light bulb moment for you.
Yeah.
Where you said, you know what? I never log what hours I work.
Yeah.
I'm very curious.
Do I actually work?
I work a ton. I feel like I work 80 hours.
Yeah.
And you log them and you've worked like 30.
Right.
And then you say, well, what?
It's 10 hours of Candy Crush.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Great then. Well, this sounds good. And I think that hopefully we've inspired a couple people. That's always, I think, my goal at the end is that a few people have been inspired or learned a couple lessons and that we can, you know, help you out. So come to the Facebook group, ask some questions, contact us.
Yeah.
We'll be here.
Yeah, exactly. And this has been Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And Mark Vila from Coleman & Company.
You guys have a good business.